We have about the same number of lease prospectuses. These are very large lease projects that we have that we have to go to the Hill and request permission to go forward and get funded. So we have about the same number there, and we have about 10% of our lease inventory that expires every year that are smaller size leases. So that's kind of like the same kind of volume, if you will, going through the pipeline and need and demand out there. The different part that I would say is really associated with sort of our drivers and our goals for our real estate portfolio. Those are really what we see GSA, the Public Building Service, trying to do right now is drive the market in our quest to eliminate the environmental impact of our real estate portfolio. And so we're doing that by using GSA projects as green proving grounds, if you will, to really push that to the fullest extent possible. So projects like St. Elizabeth's, the Department of Veterans Affairs headquarters, GSA's own headquarters, to name a few, are buildings that we're looking to make the fixed infrastructure of the building as green as possible and moving from silver to gold LEED standard. That's what we're really pressing in terms of sustainability.
Now, these 45,000 employees that are in Montgomery County, there's a plan for a lot of new space in that county?
It's not necessarily. It's usually about the same amount, quite frankly. And there are a couple of projects that are out there, prospectus level projects that are in procurement, so we do not know where they'll end. And one is the replacement lease for HHS that's at Park Lawn right now. So it's too soon to tell because the procurement's underway of what will happen with that. But typically what happens is the agency's requirements drive them to be in a particular place. And when they re-up because they have an expiring lease, they usually stay within the same jurisdiction because you have move costs for employees and transportation costs that change, et cetera. But it's not unheard of. So that's why I say it's sort of more of the same right now in the regard of the actual numbers for the jurisdictions.
Okay, so we're not talking about more square feet or less square feet. We're
exactly
talking about greener square feet, really.
Greener square feet, and then really introducing what you'll see over time. So you won't see it in 2011, but you'll see it in out years, where we're equally important to the sustainability of the, you know, it's like the bones of the building, if you will. We're then looking at really doing design work on the interior space to make it as adaptable as possible. And what that does is it really drives and supports alternative work strategies and mobility, where you can go to the extreme of free addressing in a building where no one has an assigned seat to where you have assigned seats but you have much smaller square footage used by each employee because they're out mobile working in different locations or teleworking. So it just provides an opportunity to meet some of the executive orders as well as sort of what private sector is doing to really look at driving costs down and moving towards more mobility overall.
We're speaking with Kathy Chronopoulos. She's Regional Commissioner for GSA's National Capital Region, part of the Public Building Service. And when you look to contract for green properties, whether to build them or lease them, what is the cost differential, if any, between a building that might be done conventionally and one that is LEEDs, silver, gold, or platinum?
Well, I would say that there is a lot of discussion out there of it's so much more expensive to do green, and truth is it's not. It's we are now reaching a tipping point where the cost differential is I don't know if it's de minimis yet, but it's getting there. And the long-term cost, the return on investment over the life cycle of the property is just huge. I mean, it makes good business sense. That's why private sector is going that way. And so it also makes now increasingly it's making more short-term sense as well, both from the building savings perspective as well as actually sort of a talent magnet of, you know, newcomers to the workforce are looking for being able to have some daylight, which helps with sustainability ratings, and not being in buildings with no natural light reaching them, things of that nature.
I understand that the event last week looked at the activity for 2011 and beyond. How far beyond? I mean, how far out can you project something like this?
Well, it's the trend I would say is that it will be the past trend has been very consistent where we're fairly stable. The only trend change that I see happening over time is some reduction of square footage, and that is both being driven by the nature of how we do work with mobility, and therefore you don't need your office space, where we have statistics that show people are at their space, at their desk, 30% of the time. And so some of that is just driven by the fact of how we work differently. Another is the administration, which really is pressing agencies to save reduce costs, look at using space, real estate space differently, more efficiently and effectively. And so I think those are going to be very big drivers for us.
So what's ahead for the region now?
A lot of the projects that were funded through the Recovery Act, we have the funds. And so what we're trying to do is definitely work with the interior or the exterior. That's what those funds are for. So that work is going to be done to green the buildings. The next phases will be what we're calling living labs, and that would be where you don't need to go get a prospectus from the Hill, and you can use the current operating budget money to work and do a laboratory space where you try some of this mobility work. So say you do some hoteling space for 20,000 square feet, and you're an agency that has a lot of people who come in from another region, and they need touchdown space. That's what they could experiment for. Our 1800F building is an example. We're going to be moving we're going to be moving three people in where one person sat in the past. So that's the kind of work that we're moving forward on now.
I hope they're good friends.
Oh, absolutely. Yes, it will be close. It will be close quarters, but frankly, you're not there. It's interesting to see. We've got quite a bit of study as well as some private sector data as well to show that. 30%, that number of 30% of the time you're at your desk, and that's sort of a maximum, quite frankly. So we think it's fairly workable, but it will definitely involve change management.
Well, if you add up everything you've described, it sounds like GSA is trying to foster an office revolution based on what the government has occupied for the last 200 years.
Well, it's certainly pushing what we like to say is what's the next edge. So the next edge is really getting people comfortable with these living laboratories to see how can you really accommodate taking the money out of the real estate to the extent that it makes sense and putting it into agency mission. It's not going to happen overnight. The building that we're talking about for GSA is it's been there for 50 years. This is our only modernization that we're doing. So it's really hit a cycle where these buildings that are 50 years old that we've got the recovery money for, we're finally able to do something. And so it does feel very huge. It is very exciting, and it is very big. It will not, however, have the effect of, no more lease space, that sort of thing. It will be a gradual sort of reshaping of demand is what I expect will happen, and that's going to take some time.
And no plans for a federal yurt?
No.